Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ever since the early 13th century, prominent religious figures and followers of Christianity have reported wounds suddenly appearing resembling those of Jesus' crucifixion, from the nails to the thorn crown to the cross bore on his back. They've been recorded for centuries and sufferers regarded as religious icons, but not without skepticism. So what's the story behind this phenomenon and the people who claim to be affected by it? Welcome back to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, and this week we're looking into the curious world of the stigmata. As always, we kick things off with this week's fact or fiction. Listen for the answer at the end of the programme. Now, there are currently over 100 active exorcists in the US alone. Is this fact or fiction? What do you think? Find out at the end of the show. Stigmata are wounds, scars, and pain which appear in locations corresponding to the crucifixion wounds of Jesus Christ. These are injuries appearing on the hands, wrists, feet, near the heart, the head from the crown of thorns, and back from the carrying of the cross. And the people who claim to bear the wounds of Christ are known as stigmatics. And for over 50 years, St. Pedro Pio of the Order of Friars Minor Capuchin reported stigmata, which was studied by several 20th century physicians. Over 80% of all reported stigmatics are women. In his book Stigmata, A Medieval Phenomenon in a Modern Age, Ted Harrison suggests that there is no single mechanism that causes the marks of stigmata. What is important is that the marks are recognised by others as having religious significance. Some cases include a mysterious chalice in visions being given to stigmatics to drink from, or the feeling of a sharp sword being driven into one's chest. Stigmata can take various forms, and many show some or all five sacred wounds that were, according to the Bible, inflicted on Jesus during his crucifixion. Wounds in the wrists and feet from nails, and in the side from a lance. Stigmata as crowns of thorns appearing in the 20th century, such as Marie-Rose Ferron, have been repeatedly photographed. Other reported forms include tears of blood or sweating blood and wounds to the back as from scourging. Many stigmata show recurring bleeding that stops and then starts, at times after receiving Holy Communion, and a significant proportion of those affected have shown a desire to receive Holy Communion frequently. And I'm looking at a picture now of Marie-Rose Ferron, and we'll share this on our social media, on our Instagram, and I'd love to know what you think, because you can clearly see she's lying down in a bed, her head's in a pillow, her eyes are closed, she looks very peaceful. But across her brow, and her hair's been pulled back, you can see clearly a line across her forehead, running from left to right, and then just above, in the middle of her, above her eyes, in the middle, are two marks going downwards, almost as if some thorns, you know, a crown of thorns has been placed over the top of her head. It really is quite extraordinary when you look at the picture, so let me know what you think. Now, Marie-Rose Foren was born in Quebec on the 24th of May 1902 as the 10th child of a large, devoutly Catholic family, and it's said she was only 6 years old when she had her first vision of Jesus carrying a cross as a child. She said, "He was looking at me with sadness in his eyes." And at the age of 13, Marie was struck with a mysterious paralysis and painful contraction of the muscles, forcing her to walk with crutches for several years until eventually she was confined to a bed for the rest of her life. Her stigmata first appeared when her family relocated to Rhode Island in 1925, where the wounds would appear regularly every Friday. She lived until 1936 with a well-attended funeral due to her reputation as a modern religious icon, and she's thought to be the first American stigmata. She died aged 33, the same age as Jesus. A lot of people with stigmata claim to live with minimal food or water for long periods of time, and some claim to feel the pains of wounds with no external marks, and these are referred to as invisible stigmata. Wounds do not appear to clot, staying fresh and uninfected. The blood from the wounds is said in some cases to have a pleasant, perfumed odour, known as the odour of sanctity. Individuals who have obtained the stigmata are many times described as ecstatic, overwhelmed with emotions upon receiving the stigmata. No case of stigmata is known to have occurred before the 13th century. Differently from the five holy wounds of Christ, some mystiques like Francis of Assisi and Father Pio of Petrosina reported a spontaneous regression and closure of their stigmata in the days following their death. Both of them claim to have received the divine stigmata in their hands as well as in their feet. St. Francis of Assisi is the first recorded stigmata in Christian history. In 1224, 2 years before his death, he embarked on a journey to Mount Laverna for a 40-day fast. Legend goes that one morning, near the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, a six-winged angel appeared to Francis while he prayed. As the angel approached, Francis could see that the angel was crucified. He was humbled by the sight, and his heart was filled with elation joined by pain and suffering. When the angel left, wounds appeared in his feet, hands and side, as if caused by the same lance that pierced Christ's side. The image of nails appeared in his hands and feet, and the wound in his side often seeped blood. The heads of the nails appeared on his wrists and on the upper sides of his feet, the points appearing on the other side. The marks were round on the palm of each hand, but elongated on the other side, and small pieces of flesh jutting out from the rest took on the appearance of the nail ends, bent and driven back. Pope Alexander IV and other witnesses declared that they had seen these marks both before and after his death. St. Francis's first biographer, Thomas of Celina, reports the events in the 1230 First Life of St. Francis. It's written, "When the blessed servant of God saw these things, he was filled with wonder, but he did not know what the vision meant. He wondered anxiously what this vision could mean, and his soul was uneasy as it searched for understanding. And as his understanding sought in vain for an explanation, and his heart was filled with perplexity at the great novelty of this vision, the marks of nails began to appear in his hands and feet, just as he had seen them slightly earlier in the crucified man above him." A later medical hypothesis was proposed in 1987 to explain the wounds. It claimed that Sir Francis may have contracted leprosy. For over 50 years, St. Pedro Pio of Petrosina reported stigmata, which were studied by several 20th century physicians. The observations were inexplicable, and the wounds never became infected. His wounds healed once but reappeared. Padre Pio was accused of faking his stigmata by physicians, who said he used carbolic acid to make the wounds. The historian Sergio Luzzatto recounted that in 1919, according to one document in the Vatican's archive, Pio had requested carbolic acid from a pharmacist. She said it was for sterilizing syringes used for vaccination. Throughout his life, Pio had hidden his wounds by wearing fingerless gloves. At death, there were no wounds, only unblemished skin. Pio was elevated to sainthood in 2002. In the late 19th century, a French physician named Dr. A. Imbert Goubert began compiling a census of known stigmatics from the 13th century to his own time. This census included 280 female and 41 male stigmatics, meaning women comprised a little over 87% of the list. In some cases, convent sisters have attempted to shield stigmatic women from public scrutiny out of fear of how their condition would affect the convent's reputation. The amount of women stigmatics may be even higher than historical record shows. However, this trend is changing in recent years and lessening the gap between male and female stigmatics. Through the centuries, stigmata has become one of the best documented and most controversial of mystical phenomena. The extensive record makes it possible to compare cases that occurred centuries apart. Former BBC religious correspondent Ted Harrison sets the total number of stigmata cases reported between 1224 at just over 400. Until the 20th century, reports of stigmata were confined to a Catholic Europe, but the most recent count of contemporary cases, made about a decade ago, included about 25 cases scattered around the world, including one in Korea and one in Japan. More cases are being revealed in the 21st century with modern icons. As we progress from an era of religious hierarchy and devout approaches to faith to one of technology and more agnostic or atheist opinions developing, will we see the new cases of stigmata slow down? Well, as you know with me, seeing is believing. So as I've never seen stigmata, I don't really know what to think. My first thought, as I'm sure yours is as you're listening to me, is that these people must be doing it to themselves. Well, possibly, but I doubt it. Maybe in some cases, but in the majority of them, no. And when you look at the pictures, oh my gosh, some of them are really horrendous. So in that case, this must be a real phenomena. But why is this happening? Is it the spirit world impressing the real feelings and emotions of something that happened to an important person? And I believe there was a man named Jesus and that he was a prophet, but I also believe he wasn't the only one in the world. There were many, many prophets all around the world, coursing centuries upon centuries. So could Jesus and men and women like him been sent to us by our creator or creators to show us love, compassion, and understanding of our fellow man? Well, I believe that this is so, but it's just my opinion. What do I know? As you know, I've seen with my own eyes marks, burns, and scratches upon the human body. So I know that this can really happen. So in the case of stigmata, I think I do believe, the more I'm thinking about it and talking to you about it, that this is a real phenomenon and one that should be taken more seriously. Now, I wonder what the church's approach to this is, especially the Vatican. It's interesting because I'd love to know their process. What makes them believe that this is real? What makes them, you know, ultimately take that person that's having this stigmata and turning them into saints? Because that's ultimately what they're doing. I'd love to know the research that goes on behind them. What do you think? I'd love to know your thoughts. And as I've said, the pictures that I've seen, which of course we'll share with them, as I said on Instagram, they really are compelling. I'd love to know what you think. So leave me a comment at the bottom of the page. Are these people doing it to themselves, or is the spirit world or something in the higher divine, is that responsible? Let me know.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast,
where we answer the questions you want to hear about parenthood
and provide you with real, honest advice for every stage of your parenting journey.
Whether you're a parent-to-be, a new mum like me, navigating those sleepless nights,
or a more experienced parent facing the challenges of raising older kids like me,
we've got you covered with relatable stories, expert insights, and plenty of laughs along the way.
So grab your headphones, a cup of coffee, or maybe something stronger,
and let's get real about parenting.
We're not going to be sugarcoating anything, from punamis to piles. Nothing is off limits at Mum's the Word.
It's a podcast for all the parents out there, our own little club.
Mum's the Word.
Listen wherever you get your podcast from.
And hit follow so you don't miss an episode.
We have a message here from Sam over on WhatsApp. Sam writes, "Hi Yvette and Carl, I've been a fan of Most Haunted for many years and I must tell you my insights. I moved from down south when I was a young girl, up north in Lincolnshire to an old RAF base. I've lived on the same road for 30 years, bearing in mind there are only three houses down the road. We live in what was the officers' Marry Quarter housing. When I lived next door, I had been poorly with a chest infection but was not allowed to go on the ghost hunt with my friends and sister up to the old runway. When they all arrived back, we were all chatting in the kitchen when my friend and I both looked up to the stairs and saw only a boot walking up the stairs. The lower leg was seen in the boot. It then disappeared. We didn't know what we had seen and still talk about it to this day, and we were both 14 years of age. Many moons later, I met the love of my life. We settled down next door and had three beautiful children. When our eldest son was about three, he would say there was a fox upstairs. He was adamant the fox was in his bedroom. We didn't think much of it and went along with it. One day, an elderly man knocked on our door and asked if he could have a picture of the front of the house, as he had lived in the house when his dad was based here. I, of course, had to hear his story, so I invited him in. Over a cup of tea, he said the mascot for the squadron lived at the house. It would be in the garden, free but securely tied with a long lead to the washing line. And guess what animal it was? Yes, you're right. It was only a fox. When our youngest daughter was about three, she said there was a fox in the house and would not go upstairs. It finally clicked. We believed the fox was still here. Now, for the middle child, when he was about two, he would wake in the night and he would be playing with somebody in the bedroom. Upon investigation, he was playing cards with someone. When we asked him, he said, "She keeps waking me up, so I'm playing cards, Mummy." After this, my partner would say at bedtime, "Night-night, he needs his sleep, so please don't wake him." And it worked. One night, not so long ago, I was reading and heard footsteps down the landing and pausing outside my bedroom. I thought it must be one of the children. The footsteps proceeded to go down the stairs. I froze, as I knew if it was one of the children, they would scream as it's pitch black downstairs. No one screamed. I made my partner check the children. They were all fast asleep in bed. The airbase has many haunting stories, like many others around here, but that's for another time. I hope you like it. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Many thanks, Sam. Oh, I love this. Thanks so much, Sam. And yes, airbases are filled to the brim with so much paranormal activity. And how wonderful is the ghost of the fox? I think that has to be one of my favourite stories so far. Wait till I tell my daughter, Mary. Of course, she's living on an RAF base at the moment. Which reminds me, one day she was FaceTiming me as she had to lock up a particular building all on her own. And it was late at night, winter, dark, raining outside. And as she was talking to me, she said, "Listen, And in the background, I could hear doors slamming shut and footsteps. Mary hates locking up alone, and I don't blame her. But RAF Raynham is one of my favourite locations to investigate, and I'll never, ever forget the static voices we caught on camera and the Ouija board session where the air crew that was stationed there during World War II still believed that the war was raging, and they were telling us to take cover using Morse code. In the end, after an argument with them not believing that we were in the 2000s and them convinced that it was still 1940, I asked them if they'd like to hear some music. And we played out of the speakers the White Cliffs of Dover, and the glass on the board flowed around as if it were dancing. And I remember feeling so happy, but became emotional. I think some tears fell down my face. I cried. It was a wonderful moment, and I'll never, ever forget that as long as I live. So thanks, Sam, for reminding me of one of the best, most haunted lives that we've ever done. And please send in more of your experience. I know not just me, but everybody else would love to hear them. Now, let's get the answer to this week's fact or fiction. And to remind you, here it is. I said, or I asked, there are currently over 100 active exorcists in the US alone. Do you think that's right? Fact or fiction? What do you think? Well, the answer is fact. In the Catholic Church alone, there are over 150 active exorcists working today, and there's been a huge rise in perceived demonic activity across America over the last two decades. I'm laughing. I wonder why. And with religious numbers dwindling in the States, more people have been assigned to let people know that the church is listening. And get this, in 2005, there were only 12. What do you think has happened over the last decade to cause such a huge spike? Is it more ghosts, or perhaps more people are getting involved with the world of the paranormal? I'd love to know what you think. I'm being a bit cheeky and thinking my own private personal thoughts in my head, but you probably guess what I'm laughing at. Get in touch with me and share your stories at this address. It's at contact@paranormalpod.co.uk. We are on WhatsApp, and here's the number 075-999-27537. And we are on Instagram. Have a look at some of the photographs that we're going to post of the stigmata cases. Very interesting. And as I say, I'd love to know what you think. Please, please, please keep in touch with me. And the handle for our Instagram is @paranormalactivitypod. Stay up to date with the newest episodes by giving us a follow, and I'll be back again same time next week. But if you can't wait until then, visit www.paranormalpod.co.uk, where you can find options to get episodes a day early. Have a great week. Stay safe, my friend. And remember, things aren't always as they seem.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.